What if the most powerful guidance you'll ever receive comes not from a podcast, a guru, or a best-selling book, but from the quiet space between your own thoughts? For over three centuries, Quakers have built an entire way of life around this radical premise, that within each person lies an inner light capable of illuminating our path forward, if only we'd stop talking long enough to notice it. This isn't mystical mumbo-jumbo or religious escapism. It's a practical philosophy that has quietly shaped American democracy, pioneered social justice movements, and produced some of history's most effective peacemakers. Yet its core insight remains startlingly simple. Truth doesn't come from external authorities telling you what to think. It emerges when you finally learn to listen to what you already know. In our noise-saturated world, silence has become almost transgressive. We fill every gap with podcasts, music, notifications, anything to avoid our own company. But Quaker worship flips this entirely. Plain wooden benches, no altar, no minister, no program. People sit in silence, sometimes for an hour. Anyone moved to speak simply stands, shares what's on their heart, then sits back down. This isn't passive meditation. It's active listening for what Quakers call the still, small voice, that intuitive knowing beneath the chatter of ego and anxiety. Early Quakers scandalized 17th century England by refusing to doff their hats to nobility and addressing everyone as equals. Since God dwells equally in all people, hierarchy is fundamentally a lie. This conviction got them beaten, imprisoned, and hanged. You don't need to be Quaker to access this. The inner light is that clarity that breaks through in the shower or on a long walk, when you suddenly know what to do because something deeper than logic clicked into place. Quakers simply built a practice around creating space for those moments. When multiple voices compete in your head, ambition, fear, people-pleasing, rebellion, which do you trust? Quakers offer radical optimism. If there's that of God in everyone, then truth is simply your best self, the part naturally drawn toward what's right, even when inconvenient. You already know the difference between acting from your highest self and your pettiest impulses. The challenge isn't figuring out what's true, it's having the courage to act on it. This is why Quakers refuse oaths in court. Either you're committed to honesty or you're not. One Quaker farmer, asked if he'd seen a fugitive slave, replied he'd seen a man running through those woods, technically true while protecting freedom. In business, Quaker merchants became known for fixed prices and honest weights when cheating was standard. Companies like Cadbury, Barclays, and Lloyd's thrived because customers knew they wouldn't be cheated. Integrity proved excellent for the bottom line. But truth gets complicated when it collides with love. Sometimes the truest thing you can do is remain silent. The key is asking, what does love require in this moment? Quaker simplicity isn't about rejecting technology or wearing drab clothes. It's about ruthlessly eliminating anything that distracts from what matters most. Think Marie Kondo for the soul, asking not, does this spark joy, but does this help me live to the point? We're drowning in stuff we don't need, bought with money we don't have, to impress people we don't like. Quakers saw this trap coming three centuries ago. Smith recalls his grandfather, a country doctor who could have afforded any luxury, taking the family to discover tiny botanical wonders in the New Jersey Pinelands. His grandfather had mastered what we've forgotten, the difference between being rich and being wealthy. Rich is having more stuff. Wealthy is needing less. Children today face thousands of daily marketing messages, each whispering that happiness lives in the next purchase. Quaker families model rather than lecture. Let your kids see you finding joy in a sunset, a good conversation, a homemade meal. When they want the latest gadget, ask together, will this help us live to the point? Sometimes yes, often no. Either way, you've taught them the right question. At 12, Smith thought morality was simple. Quakers were the good guys, committed to nonviolence and peace. Then Hitler marched into the Rhineland. What do you do when pacifism means standing by while evil triumphs? 8 years later, Smith carried ammunition through sniper fire in the Battle of the Bulge. He'd learned the hardest Quaker lesson. Conscience isn't inherited from your community or downloaded from tradition. It's forged in the lonely crucible of your own soul, especially when all your options feel wrong. More than half of draft-eligible Quaker men served in World War II. Smith believes both those who fought and those who became conscientious objectors did the right thing because each followed their own inner light. Conscience isn't about reaching the same conclusion as everyone else. It's about having the courage to reach your own conclusion and live with the consequences. The next time everyone's telling you what to do, your family, culture, religion, political tribe, pause. Get quiet. Ask what your deepest self actually knows. That answer might align with your community's wisdom. It might not. Either way, you're being true to the light within you, which is the only authority that ultimately matters. Quaker nonviolence sounds naive until you realize it powered transformative change. Gandhi studied Quaker practices before leading India to independence. Martin Luther King Jr. drew heavily on Quaker philosophy for civil rights. These weren't dreamy idealists. They were strategists who understood that violence perpetuates the cycles it claims to end. The Quaker peace testimony isn't passive surrender, but active resistance grounded in a subversive premise. There's something of God in your enemy, even Hitler, even the person who hurt you most. This doesn't mean excusing evil. It means recognizing that violence against another damages the divine spark within them and within yourself. Smith fought in World War II, yet supported Quaker pacifism in later conflicts, demonstrating mature conscience over ideological purity. The question isn't, what's the rule, but what does love require here? For most of us, this plays out in daily conflicts. Match your spouse's angry tone or respond with calm curiosity. Escalate the argument with your teenager or create cooling space. Peace lives in accumulated choices about how we treat people in front of us. Changing the world starts with making peace with your own shadow, the parts you'd rather not acknowledge. Only then can you extend genuine compassion outward. Everything we've explored, silence, truth, simplicity, conscience, nonviolence, comes down to one question. What does it mean to let your life speak? Not your words or intentions, but your actual life revealed in how you spend your time, money, and attention. Smith distills Quaker wisdom into 10 lessons orbiting one insight. Authenticity is the only path to meaning. Not doing whatever feels good, but aligning your actions with your deepest values, especially when it's inconvenient. Seize the present. It's all you have. Love yourself and the world despite imperfections. Stop talking and listen to what you really know. Find ways to be part of something larger than yourself. Accept that life is only partly in your hands. Character is revealed in how you handle what you can't control. Make your love visible through work that heals. Seek justice, but don't fixate on personal unfairness. Look for God's light in every person, especially those who make it hardest. This isn't easy transformation. It's the hard, rewarding work of becoming who you already are beneath conditioning and fear. The inner light isn't something to create or earn. It's already there, waiting for you to stop ignoring it. Your life is the only sermon anyone will remember. What is it saying?